For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football as the season finally comes to a close. And back with me, Mr. Dave Anderson too. Welcome back, Dave.
Good evening.
It is a good evening out there, but we're stuck inside recording the best in non-league, of course. Some great semi-finals in last weekend's National League playoffs, the National South and the National North as well. It gives us three great finals. We're going to speak to people involved with those clubs ahead of the weekend. So plenty to look forward to Saturday and then Sunday. It's a massive game for all of these people involved, but... obviously, it's just a weird climate that we're all in. They've got some games under their belt. But as a manager, what would you be saying to your players?
As a manager, Tim, you first of all know that you've done nothing, because getting to the final is part of the trip, but it's not, it's nothing. So you'd be going, well done. Try and keep your momentum going, but you'd be making it really, really plain to them that, look, all this work is for this game, and if we don't produce in this game, what was the sense in all the work? But also in a way that in big games, you want to relax players, you want them to express themselves. I used to have a little saying with the guys. I'd say, listen, big game, big players produce big moments in big games. And everybody in the dressing room thinks they're a big player. So you're saying, look, if you're a big player, go and produce, go and embrace it and don't be scared of it, But as much as winning a semi-final, which are edgy and everything we know they are, don't lose focus on what you're about to do because of what you've done, because what you've done's only got you into the ball game, if you know what I mean.
Of course, there'll be others that were in the ball game this time last weekend, and they're not now, and they're starting their summer early. So,
it's different. It's different, Tim. I feel we've said many times we feel sorry for people having to sort of play in situations like this, but it's better to have the option to play than not play, and nearly losing it is always difficult when you're in a semi-final of a playoff or the final of a playoff. But it's nearly odds insult the injury to do it in front of no one when you have the chance of playing in front of full houses. So we know it's a completely different situation. And I feel for people who have had to deal with losing and haven't even had the chance of a full house,
Well, it's not intended to be a comment on the current social climate, but I've realised we've got coming up, we've got two Neils and a Mark. let's see what they've got to say for themselves.
But before we do that, but you're trying, you should never get me on social, I'm like the social climate. I wonder what the National League's what they're saying about the people taking a knee, not taking a knee.
I could have asked them, Dave, couldn't I? But I've asked them so many questions in recent weeks that I haven't had a response to. So I'll ask them and see if we get a response.
I would hope that it's down to the individual to express their individual views and for people, not to be forced into anything one way or the other, I would ask him. I think it's important that we know.
It's important we know lots of things. We're trying to find out as much as we can, but at least we get to speak to managers, assistant managers, and chairman. So let's see.
Yes, let's talk. Let's
see what we can do. So to our first guest this week, probably he thought that getting the tumultuous events of 2019 behind him would make for a much smoother year ahead. But 2020's come along, the various vagaries involved with that, and he stuck to his guns and has got his Notts County side into the National League playoff final. One win away from the Football League, and it's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Notts County manager Neil Ardley.
Hi, guys.
Afternoon.
Well, it's evening now, Dave. Even I can see that it's a whatever the yard arm or whatever that phrase is. Anyway, Neil, I mentioned 2019 there. January, the club was up for sale. May, there was a relegation out of the Football League after 157 years. Then the new owners came in. Pre-season, I think, was it 8 players you had when that started?
I don't know how many good ones. About
10, yeah. But you've just focused on the football. You've got it done. When we spoke to you earlier on the season, you understood the huge task of a club coming out of the Football League and coming into the National League. But you've gone about your business. You've done well. Have you done as well as you could have expected to be done?
I think that's a matter of opinion for different people. I think the expectation from the owners, given the fact we had hardly any players, even the players that we did sign, had no pre-season. So we're going into the first week of the season. I think we had 14 games in 54 days was the schedule. We had barely any players. And like I say, the ones we did sign hadn't had a pre-season. So it was on the cards that we weren't going to hit the ground running. I think anybody with, you know, half a brain would look at that and say that's going to be a very tough gig in the first couple of months. It's strange after everything that had happened in that summer. We hadn't been paid. We was missing out on target after target after target where they was having to sign for other clubs. So I just think that, I do think if you'd have offered us third place in the league and a Wembley playoff final, and the semi-final of the trophy, I think most people would say that's a pretty successful season.
And Ars, first of all, lovely to speak to you. It's been a while.
Certainly has.
Yeah. Secondly, you know, when you look back on it, it's a totally different scenario you went into, you know, in as much as the upheaval of it. Two things, really. One, your knowledge, you and Coxie's knowledge of players, because you were left with none, so you had to have that knowledge in the bank to bring people in. How important was that for you in the club?
To be honest with you, yes, it was important, but our new owners are a big part of the recruitment. So we've got these new owners. They're fantastic people, fantastic guys. And, you know, we've got almost put together a mini recruitment team where we've got the owners have got their own sort of model of rating players. We've got scouts that are, you know, a lot of scouts that are watching them. And, you know, it makes the job easy because, as you know, recruitment is the toughest part. And constantly having to keep trying to turn over new players, improve the squad is really, really difficult. And, you know, having the owners as part of that process, and it has to be an agreement, you know, I like players, they might not be strong in their model and with their scouts, they like players, if I don't like them, they won't get signed. And if we both agree that there's a good player in there, then we make a move on them, and it's really refreshing.
Well, to be fair, you answered the next part of the question, because it always worries, it's a worrying statement when you say, oh, the owners do the recruitment, but obviously you're heavily involved in it as well, yeah?
Yeah, I wouldn't say the owners do the recruitment. The owners help us to identify players. They've got a team of very, very knowledgeable people working behind the scenes as part of our recruitment to try and help identify good players. And then, you know, nothing, you know, it's all very well having these scouts that identify good players, but then if they put them in front of the manager and he says, well, you know, they haven't got any of the qualities I want, then it's no good. You know, it needs to be, if we're signing them, I need to, and Coxie needs to say, oh yeah, he's a good player. You know, he really fit in well. And we've had several meetings to talk about what we want from certain positions and how we try and play, because you've got to have an identity to how you're going to play as well. Otherwise, you can't identify the players for the positions. And at the moment, we're really, really in sync. I think the owners and their scouts will say the same. It's a pleasure working with each other, and it's working well at the moment.
Well, to be fair, Neil, I think what you've done this year would prove that. I think, you know, the proof's in the pudding, and to take it from where it was to where it is now, I think is massive. Just I've a couple of questions, and I'll hog it, and Tim's used me hogging it. But the first one is, just off the top of your head, give me your real low point, and hopefully your highest point yet to come, but and your real high point up till today.
I think the real low point was Swindon away in May, which you mentioned at the start of the programme. You know, when you're brought in to do a job, I can give you 101 different reasons why the job couldn't get done in the end. But when you're brought in to do a job and you don't do that, that's all people see. And as a manager, you feel like a failure. And I felt like a failure. And I got to the summer, I didn't think I'd necessarily get this opportunity to still be Notts manager. You know, Notts have had 22 managers in 20 years, and I was the third that season. So I don't think you need to be a rocket scientist to think that you might not get the opportunity to turn it around. So after that Swindon, I thought that was how I was going to be remembered as a Notts County manager, and that brought real sadness to me. So that was the low. I think probably the biggest high was Saturday. You know, we had incredible momentum before the lockdown. You then come away and I spent many weeks in lockdown thinking that the opportunity was going to go and the season might be made null and void. And, that can get you down. And to end up with the opportunity and then you've got 4 or 5 weeks to prepare for one game that defines your season, or at least gives you the opportunity for the second game. It was incredibly tough to get that bit right. So the relief and the high on Saturday to know that the fans are going to at least watch their team at Wembley on TV, it was great.
And last one for now for me, because I'll be getting the sack. But when you talk about Wembley, Ards, you know, you and Neil are experienced in the venue. You know, I've watched it there twice, I think, at Wimbledon, the playoff, and obviously Tottenham in the FA Cup. So you, it's no strange, it's not a strange place for you. But how can you, is that beneficial to your players? Does it matter? Can you give them something? You know, how are you going to deal with that? And plus the fact that it's going to be an empty stadium, which I suppose you've got over now after the semis.
Yeah, I think the empty stadium, a few people have spoken to, obviously, got there and with Wickham. I think the empty stadium is going to be a bit weird and strange. I don't think there's any way of going into an incredible stadium like that and not feeling strange with no fans there. I don't know. I think, you know, the first time the Wimbledon one was such a big deal to have that playoff, and I really focused hard on trying to be the calmest man in the stadium because I feel like the players do feed off the manager in them situations. You know, I can be calm and I will be calm and I am calm in the build-up. But I don't think it's about Neil Ardley. I don't think it ever is about us managers. We pick the team. We try and give the structure and the shape to it. We do all our work up until Sunday at 3 o'clock. And the moment they cross their white line, you know, if players bottle it or bottle up their emotions and play with anxiety, you're not going to get the performance and likely not the result. And if they go out there and they now your match prep that you've done during the week and every letter's covered and they've played with freedom, you're going to have a great chance. And that's not going to be down to me actually having experience at Wembley.
Yeah, you listen, I have to jump in one more time, Tim. And I mean this is serious. When we got to the later stages of the Vaz run,
can I just jump in here, Dave? Are you going to mention that you're still the FA Vars winning manager at the moment, still hold that title?
Well, I can say that, but I'm not going to talk about Wembley appearances because Arge has been there millions more times. But this is a serious note. I was always a jump up and down, rant, rave, you know, just a nightmare in a dugout. But we'd had a few trips together. Ards up to Cheltenham and back with a few Guinnesses, and I got to know you, and I got to learn that calmness off you, and I fed off it. If you ask anybody about me in the running and the Vaz in the big games, it's the calmest I've ever been in a dugout, and it's just one of them little things, Tim, you pick up being around people like Neil and that, and I'm not blowing smoke up his arse. He knows me well enough for that, but that is, I think it's a real massive point. And if I'm ever talking to young managers, I would say to them, don't be like I was. Have a look at people like Neil. Be calmer, be a calm influence, because the lads are hepped up enough. So I'd like to thank you for that, Neil, and wish you all the very best Saturday, son, or Sunday.
Thanks for that, Dave. Appreciate that.
It both for an interesting set of dugouts then, because obviously we've spoken to Simon Weaver at Harrogate Town as well. Is as calm as they come as well. So the most excited people within the stadium could well be the stadium announcer on Sunday after.
Yeah, listen, Simon's done an incredible job. I mean, the way, you know, they've got such a cohesion within their team, and that's why they're where they are, and they've had the success over the years. So I know we're in for an incredibly tough game, and we are going to have to perform to our absolute best to win it. So, you know, it's football. Anything can happen on the day.
And Neil, sorry, just that the other one is, you know, normally for situations like this, you'd have a lot of sort of video evidence and stuff you'd study, and but that's sort of gone by the by now. You've maybe one game to look at each other. Is that, you know, how's that been for you, that sort of doing your homework stuff?
I think you've got to know the team and the manager you're playing against. And I don't think Harrogate, you know, some teams might have mixed up their style, you know, changed their shape a little bit, set up to, cause the opposition problems defensively and stuff. So you kind of work out, and you might be guessing a bit. But I think with Harrogate, they're very, very good at what they do. And I can't see for a minute they're going to change that. And that goes from the one game in the semi-final where they played against the 3-5-2 system, as did we against Barnet, to other games where they've played against 4-4-2 and 4-3-3. They're good at what they do. And, you know, they're not going to turn up all of a sudden and try and do something different.
I think it shows how long this season's been going on for, that you two, as a set of sides, played each other. Well, you're going to play on Sunday on the 2nd of August, and the only time you played each other last season was a Tuesday, the 13th of August, which is in the same season. It probably shows where we are in the world at the moment. Well, one last one from me. Obviously, you mentioned about, you know, an empty Wembley. You averaged over 5,200, I think, at home games last season in the league. Had over 9,000 there for the final game back in September. This weekend, it's going to be zilch. Now, Harrogate are more used to playing in front of smaller crowds. Does that... How are you sort of, you know, trying to get into your players' psyche that it's going to be a completely different atmosphere from what they're used to, particularly for a home game?
I don't think I need to get in. I think everyone knows where we are in the world now, and I don't think any of us can be prepared for playing in front of an empty Wembley. Whether you played in front of Meadow Lane, whether they played in front of it at Harrogate on Saturday, an empty Wembley is going to be a weird, eerie feeling for us all. And like you say, you know, we do our prep during the week, and both managers will be making sure they send the players in there as best prepared. None of us can actually do anything about what they're going to face when they get there in front of that no crowd and an echo going around Wembley. I think that it's going to be on the day. You know, just keep your fingers crossed that you handle it better.
And Dave's always one that goes on about these big games being for the fans. Both clubs are just trying to do as much as they can for the fans, aren't they? And trying to keep them involved. But there's just so many regulations and things we can't do.
No, absolutely. It's so tough. You know, even last week in the build-up, I did a Facebook Live for our club, and all these messages were pouring in. And it was only then it really dawned on me, you know, how the fans were feeling, because you kind of feel like you're in a bubble at the moment with the world how it is. And you kind of forget that, you know, there's going to be 10,000-15,000 Notts fans who are chewing their nails and spent all week on the toilet worrying about, you know, how this game's going to go. And you're shielded from it and you forget about it.
Well, being the man that's put on live productions in the past, the thought of someone tripping over the cable that might put everybody on a blackout trying to watch this from home. It just is, the butterflies are already going for me. Neil, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. We know you're busy, and it's a big old week for you. We wish you well at the weekend, and hopefully we will speak to you again very soon.
Yeah, good luck, Gorge.
Thanks, guys. Good to speak to you.
Yeah, and you, mate.
Dave, I mentioned it there. We spoke to Simon Weaver last week. He was laid back. Ards is laid back. It's it is a big game, but again, in the context of what's been going on, still going on around the world, it's a game of football.
Yeah, it's a game of football, and and I maybe embarrassed Neil a little bit there about what I said, but I definitely meant it because I did get to know him through Wimbledon and a couple of trips we had together, and you know, away from his work, he's a good laugh, and you know, so's Coxie. Simon Bossy is a friend of the show, so we had great times together. But like anybody, if you're in football and you're around people like that, if you're not listening and not taking notice of what they do and feeding off the vast experience I have, you're stupid. And although I am a little bit stupid, I wasn't stupid enough to not take on board how he conducts himself. And I went to watch Wimbledon quite a lot and watched him in the dugout. And he's calm and assured and, you know, deals with it. It just makes you feel comfortable. Speaking of Simon last week, you know, who I don't know, comes across exactly the same, a real calmness. And when you go into big games as a football club, I think it's essential your manager carries a calmness and an assuredness about him. And they will both have that. As much as I know Neil and I don't know Simon, we know enough about both of them that they will both have that. And they will allow their players to express themselves. They will encourage them not to be fearful. And when you put all that down, it's then down to the guys on the pitch. And I just think it could be a great game, you know. And, you know, we all have to try and stay on the fence. And I was rooting for Simon last week, but Arge is a friend. And, you know, listen, good luck to both of them.
So much as was made of the importance of Step 2 being able to take part in their playoffs, and both on the field and off the field, all the clubs involved have fully justified those claims. Our next guest was probably as disappointed as anybody when lockdown struck, because his side had, well, hit form with 3 wins back-to-back. It was enough to secure their playoff spot in National North, and with wins over Chester and York since the restart, they're seemingly on fire. It's a warm welcome to the assistant manager at Altrincham FC, Neil Sorville. Hello, Neil.
Hiya, Tim. You okay?
I'm good. I bet you are too. Definitely from what I've seen of you against Chester and York last weekend, your guys are properly in the groove. Did they come back into training like that, or has that been part of your coaching role since you've been back?
Bit of both, really. We've kept them ticking over since we've gone into lockdown. They've all had kind of certain bits of programs and runs that they've needed to adhere to. They've all been fantastic in terms of sticking to that, and they've all come back in really good shape. I think that the first week of training, we came back first week of July. Obviously, we were in still following the rules in terms of small group training. Done a little bit of fitness testing with them as well, and they were all in good shape. So I think since we were allowed to train competitively again, you know, the atmosphere has been really good, and the energy about the players has just grew as the weeks have progressed on, and we're looking in good shape.
I think one thing that I've noticed from afar is the coverage and that I've seen both of the games and other stuff you've been doing with the other media. There does seem that buzz, that the thing about a group together, that you always see with successful sides, and it does seem that you've got that behind you.
Yeah, look, it's been since we came in, it's, you know, 3 years ago into the club, it's pretty much that we recruited with this league in mind. So the idea was that we, you know, we could get out the NPL, that the group we'd recruited would be good enough to compete in this league. They've gone above expectations. You know, that's 2 seasons now back to back where we've got into the playoffs, and that from a coaching point of view, they're a fantastic group to work with. All got a great attitude, and it's been really enjoyable coming back in and working with them the last 5 weeks.
And Neil, to be fair, you, momentum's massive in these situations, I feel, you know, and being in a little bit of form, and you know, you can disguise it, you can tell me whatever you want to tell me. But I've been in the dressing room often enough to know that when you're in there and your players are buzzing and they're in a little bit of form, at the right time, it's a real good place to be, isn't it?
Yeah, I definitely. You know, not going to disguise or hide the fact that momentum is important, and you can tend to get on the roll. It's an unusual one, you know. You've come out of kind of 4 months of lockdown, not played for 4 months. You know, you're always anxious, or I am anyway, pretty much the first game of the season after six friendlies. You're not quite sure of where you're going to be at, because friendlies really sometimes are not a reliable test. So to go into kind of the first game against Chester, you're really quite anxious, but so far so good. And I think, you know, especially the Chester game, with that being the first game, we started really good. We looked really sharp from the off, so that was really pleasing.
And sort of the fact that you've had a couple of games, you know, every game that's as competitive as these games, I think just does that give you, listen, it's a big football match, I know it's on the day, but does that give you that little bit of sharpness and that sort of togetherness, you know, you've got through a couple of games of that ilk?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was an interesting one with us and Gateshead having almost started before Boston and York almost. I felt that, you know, the two teams who played in the Eliminator game potentially would have a slight advantage because you've had that competitive game under the belt. It's worked in our favour, definitely. We've looked really bright in both the games. Obviously, it didn't pan out that way in the other game with Boston, with Boston coming through.
And just last one from me, Neil. They get to see you a couple of times, don't they? I think that's the difference, is that they get to study how you've played in the games, and you get one sniff at looking at them. How's that been with your homework and stuff?
Well, you do what you can. Obviously, we look back on previous games when we've played them. We've been a little bit hit and miss, so I won't lie. So I think on the day, it's going to be down to who gets their game right. You know, if we play to the level and impose our way of playing on them, we've got a good chance, and vice versa for them. Like I said, we've had the one game to look at, which is obviously the game we played against Gateshead. But I think, you know, the majority of clubs now, you know, at this stage of the season, you know, you can't bring any different players in. Everyone pretty much knows each other, you know, pretty well, and you know the other team's kind of style of play and what players they've got available. So, like I say, we good energy about the camp, and we're ready to go now. We're ready for it.
Sorry, Tim, one more. The last one for me is that, and it's a big shame, and we've sort of spoke before you came on, Neil, that, you know, you're in football to be involved in these games as a staff member, a manager, a player, because they're in front of full houses. And obviously you're playing in front of no one. How have you dealt with that? And have you spoke to the guys about it, or have you just gone with it? Because that's a whole different ballgame, an empty stadium and a fixture of this importance.
Yeah, looking back on the playoffs last year, I think of the two games we had, you know, the home game and midweek one on a Tuesday night against Blyth. I think there was nearly 2,000 on. The place was bouncing, and then we took 1,100, I think it was, to Charlie on the Sunday then for the semi-final game. So it's, from the fans' point of view, look, it's a real shame. It is a real shame, you know. We're missing the back in there, but the lads are doing a fantastic job at the minute, and it's about generating your own energy, your own enthusiasm. Like I say, it's a really together group, regardless of who starts from 1 to 11, and they've all got each other's backs. And you know, if you can't get yourself up for a game of this magnitude now on Saturday, you shouldn't be in the game.
Yeah, you touched upon it earlier there, Neil, about, you know, your success since yourself and Phil came in. You obviously the club pretty much dropped out as you of the Northern down to the Northern Premier League when you joined. Then you got that promotion back up, and then the playoffs last year. This season could have been a very difficult one, and well, it started that way as well, didn't it? Because I think November you were probably looking over your shoulder at relegation rather than the playoff that you've ended up in. What was the magic switch back in November that sort of gelled it all together?
I think, look, I don't think we particularly started the season that well. We were hit and miss at the start of the season, very inconsistent. Maybe one or two of the new signings we've made didn't quite gel. We'd had a couple of our key players who'd been injured and just coming back into fitness. And we'd also had the FA Cup run. That was the one bonus, really, from this season. That's always something kind of me and Phil had never had either at Altrincham. And knowing their history in the FA Cup and the giant killing feats that they've had, and obviously at Nantwich, we'd never got to a first round. So we got that this season. You know, we got to the second round, fantastic run, and bowed out at Portsmouth, unfortunately. So I think we were probably two or three games behind some of the other teams. But yeah, interestingly enough, it's a good point you make, because going into Christmas, I think it was the Boxing Day game or the Saturday before Christmas, can't remember. We were away at Curzon Ashton, and I think we were 18th at that point. And we were looking over our shoulder, because if we'd have lost that game, we'd have potentially been in the bottom three. I think they'd have jumped above us, Curzon, at that point. So we've been on a tremendous run since then. Absolutely fantastic run since just before Christmas, and hopefully we can maintain the performance level one more time.
Yeah, hopefully. One game ahead of you then, and I know you guys and all the backroom team there, you know, sports science is a big thing for you. What about, we've spoken to other managers and that about these drinks breaks and the different substitution rules. How have they come into your plans for this game on Saturday?
Well, it's a bit more like basketball, I suppose, isn't it? Where you get a timeout.
You're going to bring a 6'9" striker on?
Well, maybe I haven't got one. I'm sorry, it's not how we play. But you get that a minute, 2 minutes to give the lads that input if they need it. It does seem a bit strange, to be honest, when it's not maybe roasting hot and they're having that break at that 20-minute point. Does seem a bit, you know, strange to what you're used to. But like I say, it gives you the opportunity to give them that additional input.
It would
at them key points.
Yeah. Sorry, Neil. I mean, I was of the opinion that if you're playing well, sometimes you don't want half time. You know, never mind quarter time. You know, if you're playing well after 20 minutes, the people who have brought this in don't understand the momentum of a football match, do they?
No, yeah, you know, I can, in a one way, I can see why they've done it. Obviously, the concern around...
Don't sit
around,
on the fence. Don't start sitting on the fence.
Yeah, concern around injuries and the time that the lads have been out. And the same with the substitutions. But you're definitely right. Yeah, momentum is a big factor in the game, obviously.
Yeah.
And so... A big game ahead for you guys, but also for the club. You mentioned the history already for Altrincham, and it's a while since they've been out at a Step One football. What would it mean for people in the local area to get the club back up there?
Look, it'd be a fantastic achievement for everyone concerned. You know, the directors and the people behind the scenes at the club who've worked particularly hard to get this on and to give us an opportunity at the playoffs. I'm sure like all the other clubs, everyone who's finished in and around the playoffs would love the opportunity to compete in the playoffs. And then the fundraising initiative that the fans, from the fans, that, you know, the money they've generated to allow the testing to happen. You know, we all know how expensive it is for a non-league club. And for me, that the fundraising effort from the fans, that just shows what the club means to the people in the community.
Well, hopefully you'll have the opportunity to celebrate with them maybe after the weekend. We thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, Neil, and wish you well at the weekend, and hopefully speak to you soon.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah,
thanks very much. Cheers, thanks very much. See you now.
Dave, another a club that have been there, seen there, done that, but a younger set of management team there. Neil, alongside Phil Parkinson, as he touched upon, had success with Nantwich, and then they moved on to Altrincham and moving up. But it's a big game. Boston United, they'll probably be favourites in the game, but they've got a great home record this season. But Altrincham, as you mentioned there, the momentum, I could just see an upset occurring there.
Well, Altrincham's a big football club. I mean, I've a little soft spot for them when I lived up in Manchester. I went and watched them a couple of times, so I've always sort of kept an eye. It's one of them things we do. If you end up somewhere and you watch a team, you keep an eye on them. Phil Parkinson's an experienced guy, so I'd expect him to deal with that comfortably. But when you're getting into these games, and I'm only imagining what it's like now in front of no one, being the underdog, being the underdog when you're playing in front of a full house that's against you is a little bit harder than being an underdog in front of no one. Mm. The counter argument is that sometimes your own fans put some pressure on you, but I think a club like Altrincham will certainly go into a game like that with no fear. But I agree with you. I think Boston still are the favourites.
So let's head south then, and indeed to the sunny south coast, where our next guest combines all the football you could eat with family life in one of the best places in the country at this time of year. After 3 months without a game, they won their semi-final last weekend at home to Dorking Wanderers. And this Saturday at 3 p.m, welcome Steve King's Dartford to the Bob Lucas Stadium. It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show for manager at Weymouth FC, Mr. Mark Molesley. Hello, Mark.
How are we doing? You all right?
Well, we're good. And what about you? One match under your belt, one to go. What did you learn about your players and yourself from that game on Saturday?
Well, it's a very strange situation, to be honest. After not kicking a ball for 4 months, it's not often you go into probably the biggest game of your season, if not possibly one of the biggest games in the club's history after, not kicking a ball for 4 months. But look, we obviously enjoyed getting back out on the training pitch, getting back out there after obviously having been locked down, and we've enjoyed the process. But it certainly was a strange affair, like having no fans there, and it was an emotional roller coaster of a game. And football seemed it seemed quite a while since we'd played.
It was, as a neutral watching it, it was one of those, a now marching last 10 certainly, but it was possibly had all the elements of football that we'd all been missing.
Yeah, I think it certainly was an exciting game. I don't think it was exciting for me, stood there watching it on the sideline. But ultimately, it's all about, in competition football, and that's what it is now, is essentially a semi-final. It's about just getting the job done, and we've managed to do that. And I'm sure hopefully it'll be better for it, for getting that 90 minutes under our belts for this Saturday.
What was it like, the dressing room afterwards? Was it almost one of relief that you got that game out of the way? Was it one of excitement that you're in this final? Or everything at the moment is just surreal. Was it like that in the dressing room as well?
It was a little bit, because obviously elation of winning the game, but then also it's only half time really in our target, so. It was one of relief as well. Like, the boys have worked really hard in such a short space of time, and they've looked after themselves well in lockdown. But preparation time really for such a big game isn't ideal. But like I said, it's the same for both teams, and we're just delighted that we got this opportunity to finish the season, and we've just got to grasp that opportunity with both hands.
Yeah, and we have to mention, of course, that you're in the playoff final, having only spent one season back in National South, so it would be back to back promotions, which would be a tremendous success anyway. Well, is the club ready off the field for that sort of elevation?
Look, we've got a very, I've got a great board, essentially everyone at Weymouth, outside the playing squad is volunteers, and they all do such a fantastic job. And look, that club's, had a rough 10 years. And, you know, if it wasn't for the people who are still there now, the club wouldn't even be in action. So they've worked tirelessly hard to keep the club afloat. And, you know, we run a strict ship down there. And, you know, I'm sure whatever comes our way, we will do our best. Like, you know, even putting these games on has been very demanding on everyone, the strict COVID guidelines, and rightly so. But we're literally putting on a game to Premiership standards at the moment with essentially a team of volunteers. So we've had to raise all that money ourselves as well. So I'm tremendously proud of everyone associated with our football club, you know, in the football club, the fans and the players who are really rallying through this situation. I just hope that we can do everyone proud on Saturday.
Yeah, and obviously I mentioned, you know, all the football you can eat, because your involvement down there as well with Bournemouth and the setup down there, you've seen it from both ends. You know, the top level of the game, how the Premier League have been preparing through this COVID regulations and all the protocol and that, but also, as you say, from a volunteer led club at your level, and it just shows how professional non-league is without the similar resources.
Yeah, I think, look, non-league clubs have to be very creative, and there's some wonderful people keeping them clubs going, keeping them afloat, keeping them running. And that's, you know, no more so than our football club. Like I said, you know, the team of volunteers down there have managed to, you know, pull this together with everyone working so hard behind the scenes to get it, because it's such a big game for us. I mean, how often you get within a, you know, 90 minutes of being able to get promoted, you know, it doesn't always happen. So, we, you know, I've just delighted that we've got this game on and we're in the final.
Yeah, you mentioned the 90 minutes, but when we've been speaking to other managers, with these players, when we've got these drinks breaks, we've got the different substitutions, it's almost, you're almost looking at 100 minutes now, aren't you, for these games. Are you having to prepare your players for that extra bit of just keeping their brain switched on for that extra 10 minutes or so?
Yeah, I think it's more of a focus and concentration thing. And you know, you can only do that by training it and playing it. You know, you only get that focus and concentration by playing those 90 minutes or them 100 minutes, like you said. So, look, we've trained and tried to be as effective as we can in the short space of time. You know, our lads have been very professional, but ultimately you can only prepare with the time and allocated. You know, we're a part-time football club and we've tried to be as creative as we can to make our players ready. But ultimately, you know, none of the squads are probably as ready as they would like to be for such a big game. But it's the same for all teams. It's certainly a unique situation, and trying to manage that situation, you know, takes its toll as well, because you've got so much to think about. You know, so many substitutions we made. I mean, for our game, we raced into a 2-0 lead, and you almost don't want timeouts. You don't want you know, them a chance to change things and you know, take a bit, you know, a few minutes to try and tactically change things. You want the game to carry on as it was. So, yeah, there's plenty of differences in the game, but ultimately, look, it's still two goals, a grass pitch, one football. So, you know, it's getting back on the bike, so to speak.
Yeah, it's your grass pitch as well. You know, you've got a massive capacity at Weymouth, you've got a great set of fans, but they can't be there. Does that still, having that home advantage coming out of your dressing rooms, does that still play a part in what effectively is, the as you mentioned, probably the biggest game that the club's ever faced?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. We'd rather be at home. You're searching for any advantage you can try and gather. Don't get me wrong, our home advantage is certainly diminished without our wonderful crowd being behind there. And also, you know, usually this would be off the back of a long, hard season, and, you know, the home travel would have been a lot better. But now, obviously, we've had 4 months out, and Dartford have had, you know, two games to prepare for this, you know, and they've done brilliantly to get through them, but they might see themselves as a little bit more match ready than us, but only time will tell with that one. But yeah, for sure, we, you know, we're delighted that we're at home and amongst familiar surroundings.
And you've got those drinks breaks, but we're talking the first weekend of August, and normally you'd be, you know, maybe having a run out in a pre-season friendly, and you'd be hoping that the lads would be geared up nearly to full pace. But it's going to be a tough one if the sun's out as well. You've got these drinks breaks, but does that play on your mind as to the players you choose to put out in the game, or who's available on the bench?
Yeah, certainly. There's so much to consider. It's going to be a hot day. You know, it's going to be our second 90 minutes in a week after not playing for so long. So basically, it's whoever physically can handle it the best, I think. And like I said, we've relied on our boys being as professional as they can when they're away from the football club, but they're trying to keep themselves fit and, you know, in their recovery and things like that. But ultimately, it all comes down to who can hold their nerve on the game and who can physically get their probably their best players up to their optimum or as close to their optimum as they can. And said only time will tell on that one, but I certainly think we'll be better for having the game on Saturday as well. Just to, you know, I feel more confident now that we've had a game under our belts, whereas going into Saturday, really the previous game really was the unknown.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, Dartford ended the season as one of the form teams, and then they've come back straight from lockdown with wins at Slough and Havant and Waterlooville. So they're obviously in fine form. But do you try and get that out of your players' minds? Is the focus just simply on you, the way that you play and playing your best game? You finish higher up the table. You've got the home advantage. You should be the better team on the day.
Yeah, look, I think Dartford have much changed. You know, we only played them once at the start of the season, and then Steve King's come in, and look, obviously an experienced manager. He's put a great side together down there. I think this is his fifth playoff final. I think his players have got a lot of experience in playing in these games and that. So we have to show them the respect they deserve. They finished the season an absolute canter. They've done well since lockdown to carry that form on, and they've got some real good players. But you know, we'll give them the respect they deserve. But ultimately, you know, we need to focus on ourselves. We've had a good season ourselves. Not many people thought externally that we were going to be where we are. But I think internally, we always felt we could ruffle a few feathers this season, and that's certainly proved to be the case. And we will thrive and continue to prove all the doubters wrong.
And at Saturday, 3 o'clock, it's almost unusual now to kick off a game at that time. Does that mean that you're back to your standard routine so that everything, you can just sort of flow into this game on Saturday?
No, that's not the case at all. We've been moved to a 1 o'clock kickoff now. Uh-huh. So we kicked off at 5:30 last Saturday, and now we're 1 o'clock this Saturday. So yeah, the football body clock probably all over the place at the moment. And again, part-time players, we train in the evening. So yeah, but nothing's, you know, there's no
normality
in any of this at the moment. Yeah.
So
embrace the chaos.
So Saturday evening then, win or lose, FA Cup finals are on the box. Are you guys all going to sit down and watch that?
No, hopefully not. Hopefully I'll be, celebrating. But hopefully I'll be putting the football away, because it's been a demanding period. I've enjoyed every minute of it. But yeah, to be fair, I haven't allowed myself to even think about anything after the game yet. And I can't. You know, we need to focus on our process, our roles and responsibilities to put our best foot forward for this Saturday. And, I'm sure after the game will take care of itself.
And I guess... that means you haven't had a chance to think about for the new season as well, which actually looks like it probably won't be that far away from us either.
No, I think, you know, that will be upon us straight away. There won't be too much breathing time after, but I think we'll not knowing so much at the moment and not wanting to know too much, you know, we've got to be fully focused on this. And I can assure you, you know, Sunday morning, it's not often my brain and my staff as well switches off for too long from football. So, we'll attack whatever happens, the best way we can. But October the 3rd now gives us a little bit more breathing space than we originally thought. So, we'll be prepared for that. But at the moment, the sole focus is on preparing the best we can for this. But it's a great game and what an exciting time it is for our football club.
Well, Mark, it's always a pleasure to have you on the Non-League Football Show. Thanks for joining us. We wish you well, and just enjoy that excitement, and hopefully there'll be some reward at the end of it.
That's great. Thanks for having me on.
So let's head on over to Virtual Non-League Paper Towers, our weekly roundup, and a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to David Richardson, senior writer at the Non-League Paper. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. Hope you're well.
I'm well. Now I need to pin you down here. You've been watching football games from within a stadium. How's that been?
Yeah, very fortunate really to be able to do that. I wrote sort of in the paper last week really about how I've been at these games, and particularly the first one at Bournemouth a couple of weeks ago on that Friday night, you sort of feel a little bit guilty that you are there really, and sort of the fans who have followed these clubs in the playoffs sadly aren't. So I think that's sort of probably not been sort of lost really on me when going to these sort of games. But no, it has been a real sort of pleasure to go to them. I've thoroughly enjoyed them as well. I'm going to Weymouth on Saturday and then Wembley on Sunday, which I think will be the sixth game I've been to in the playoffs. So sort of made the most of it really. And all the games have been entertaining that I've been to. They certainly sort of have their own sort of feature to the match, I suppose, and their own sort of little storyline in there as well. So no, it's been very sort of enjoyable couple of weeks really. And unfortunately, it ends this weekend, doesn't it? But I think it certainly whets sort of the appetite for the real return in a couple of months.
Yeah, and we've had sort of more information on dates and things like that this week. It looks like we might have a little bit more of a break or some more pre-season behind the closed doors games than we were expecting. But that, I think there's, as we've spoken before, there's so many things that need to be done at various clubs to enable matches to get on and fans to be allowed through the gates.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, the headline this week was the National League putting out their proposed start date for October 3rd. Obviously, it had been looked like from the FA's guidance that it would be September that the league would start, but they've sort of shifted it back a month or so to October, which I presume is in line with sort of the government's ruling on when crowds can return. So they had said that they would expect crowds at sporting events in October time. As for the steps below that, steps three and down from there, obviously they on that FA guidance were starting in September. So I mean, whether that will change, I'm not sure, but you would think it would if there wasn't the ability for fans to be at these games. As we know, the FA have sort of said all along that normally would only return with fans in grounds, to make it viable for clubs to survive, really. So perhaps sort of some interesting developments, I guess, we can probably expect over the next week or a couple of weeks as to those dates. Having spoken to some of the National League clubs, I think some probably were a little bit surprised that it was moved back, given what the FA has said. But at the same time, I think they're more than understanding that, fans do need to be at these games. And of course, then you do still have the issue of whether capacities will be reduced to what has been rumoured 30% or maybe something like that. So as we always sort of seem to say, there's still sorting out to be done and a few headaches in there as well. It's the sort of usual conundrum really, where there's quite a lot of questions and perhaps not too many answers at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing is that You sway one way and somebody's going to be upset or is going to be cause difficulties for some people. Obviously, if you're a manager and you're trying to get your players geared up for a pre-season and now maybe there's an extra couple of weeks of that pre-season, then it's trying to get everybody lined up and to the right level of fitness ready to play. And we've been talking to managers and chairmen and that about the difficulty of the players that are playing in these National League playoffs at the moment and only really having 4 weeks to prepare for those and that not being long enough. But then you don't want too long before the season starts as well. And I know almost every club, I think, up and down the country has already at least started to get some of their players in just to try and gauge levels of fitness.
Yeah, that's right. I think maybe if you're a player, the news of an October start date probably took some swallowing, perhaps, if they've already been in pre-season and looking at sort of another another 8 weeks of running and running up sort of sand dunes and hills as some clubs have been doing. But no, it's like you say, it's still an issue for clubs in that department in terms of sorting out players. I spoke to Hungerford chairman Patrick Chambers today, who was saying how Danny Robinson there has had to for August sort of basically say that, you know, they'll only be sort of training once a week or playing a game. You know, usually they'll be training Tuesday, Thursday, and, you know, having some sort of pre-season friendly or not on a Saturday or something like that. There's obviously the issue of putting pre-season friendlies on with, you know, without fans, you know, because there's still a cost involved in putting those games on. So, yeah, still a difficult one for clubs. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens, really.
Yeah, and so as we mentioned before, you're one of the lucky ones. You say Wembley and Weymouth. It's not normally a combination that springs to mind along greatest footballing weekends. Maybe in the future, in the current travel industry, maybe Wembley and Weymouth may be a package that they could slot together. But we do have you know, three very important, very big games this weekend to look ahead to. And, yeah, a combination of you know, games between clubs that finished in the third place, all over the playoffs. There doesn't seem to be any sort of pattern this year. And I think that probably shows a lot for that four-month layoff that the clubs had.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was sort of said, really, wasn't it, in the build-up to the playoffs, that sort of form and things like that didn't really come into it. And it would just sort of probably be down to a little bit of luck or something special on the day. And I think we've seen that, really, obviously, with York and Havant, the two teams that finished second in National League North and South, obviously both being knocked out on last weekend. But no, some really sort of interesting finals to come. Weymouth against Dartford, like I said, where I'll be. I've watched Dartford's two games so far. I've been at both of them. They've obviously had to do it the hard way, playing away. Their first game at Slough, they sort of didn't really get going in the first half, but then really turned it on and won 3-0 there. And then at Havant last weekend, you know, again, they were 1-0 down in the first half, and then Havant went down to 10 men just before half time. And again, sort of Dartford turned it round, and Steve King got his changes spot on at half time to make that happen. So, you know, they'll be very much full of confidence. It's probably a season for Dartford and for Steve King as manager, where they, you know, they really wouldn't have expected this at all. Of course, you know, in October they were fifth from bottom when Steve King came in. He's managed to completely turn things around, and now, you know, all of a sudden they're 90 minutes away from getting promoted. It's probably a bit of a different story for Weymouth, really. You know, they've been in the playoffs and the promotion mix all throughout the season. And then they had a little bit of a scare last weekend. Obviously, 2-0 up against Dorking, looked to be cruising. Dorking hit back, and then in the 95th minute, Weymouth won it. So, yeah, really interesting one to look forward to tomorrow. You know, we haven't seen many games go all the way to penalties, which might be a result of, you know, teams trying to get it done before then, and I think we may see another exciting game in that one. And then in the north, you've got Boston and Altrincham, two sides really who you probably wouldn't have predicted at the start of the season to be in the final, really, but nonetheless, two that have had really good seasons. And Boston, you know, they've gone under the radar for a lot of it, really. They obviously had a great FA Cup run, which they managed to tie in with their league form. And again, they'll probably fancy their home advantage. Of course, it looks like it'll be their last one at their ground as well. So how much they'd love to go out with a bang there. And similarly, Altrincham, Phil Parkinson's really got them flying. Obviously, they came up from Northern Premier League. They're in the playoffs last season, then they're here again now. So that's another one that's so difficult to call, really. I think at all of these games, it's you know, I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I probably wouldn't be putting any bets on these games because you just can't really call them. And then on Sunday, of course, the sort of big one between Notts County and Harrogate.
Yeah, the big one. It's normally the you know, finishes off the non-league league season very well, but it's interesting that one's going to be at Wembley the day after the FA Cup final, which actually puts a non-league further more in the shop window.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, obviously the games have been on BT Sport in the National League and also streamed at Step 2 as well, which has been great. And although having not experienced watching those games on there, I understand it's worked pretty flawlessly, as has been sort of hoped for supporters, which has been good. But no, on Sunday it's a really interesting one. You've sort of got the old former Football League club in Notts County, obviously FA Cup winners as well. And then you've got Harrogate, who have been on this rise over the last few years when they went full time in 2017, and that year they won the National League North playoffs. Then last year they very much took the division by surprise, got into the playoffs, and here they were again, obviously challenging for the title with Barrow when things came to an end. And they put in a really impressive performance in against Boreham Wood last weekend to progress, as did Notts County against Barnet. So again, a really difficult one to call. It'll be a strange atmosphere at Wembley, of course, without any fans. And really, again, I think it's just down to whatever happens on the day, a bit of luck or something a player can produce that will be the difference. It's sort of one of those games where you don't really want to see either team lose, because having spoken to Simon Weaver over the last few months, obviously about how the season would be resolved and everything like that, you sort of really start to sort of get to know these people and feel for them and what they're going through. And similarly for Neil Lardley as well, who's done a really magnificent job turning things around at Notts County. I think on his first day in pre-season last summer, he had about 8 players report. Of course, there was the takeover as well. And at times in the season, it looked a bit shaky, but then they were really got going when the season came to an end. And they managed to continue that form against Barnet. So a really intriguing tie to come. And as I've sort of said a lot all along, just a shame there won't be supporters there, obviously, for Harrogate's first visit and for the sort of suffering Notts County fans of the last few years. You've sort of been put through the ringer. It would be a nice sort of reward for them, really, to have seen their team at Wembley. But no, a difficult one to call, and looking forward to it.
And you'll be one of the lucky ones that are there as well. And obviously, plenty of football to report upon with those Saturday games as well. But what else can we expect to read in this weekend's non-league paper?
Yeah, so Adam Virgo's got his team of the season in there. We've got a feature on Team Bath. Do you remember Team Bath?
I do remember Team Bath. I remember signing a couple of players from Team Bath at Hayes and Yedding. I remember playing them in the old Conference South, and I remember several people that went off from there. Where did Mr. Paul Tisdale started there, I believe, as well.
Yeah, that's right. Paul's one of the ones Chris Dunlavy's been speaking to this week for a really nice feature about Team Bath, sort of remembering those days. I must admit, I don't particularly know too much about them, so I'm sort of looking forward to reading that one. But again, we've also got sort of all dedicated news pages to each of the leagues throughout the pyramid, and there's lots of interesting stories going on. We're hearing from sort of clubs about the restart and their preparations and what they're doing, and obviously discussions amongst themselves and other clubs at levels as well. So there's plenty of news and things going on in the non-league game as usual. So you can definitely expect plenty to read there on Sunday ahead of the National League final.
Well, David, we'll look forward to that Sunday. It's a Sunday morning where the non-league paper comes out with everything in it, and then you've still got the playoff final to come. It's always a pleasure to have you on, David. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy your footballing trips, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks very much, Tim.
So that's it for this week, and quite possibly for the season two. This is show 51 of season 2019-2020.
Wow.
And with the season rapidly approaching again, we do need to get this mixing desk serviced, and myself and Dave some R&R ready for the new season. We may well be back with some little updates in the interim, trying to keep you abreast of everything, all the changes, the dates, and
just when you think it's safe. Just when the punters think it's safe, we'll be back.
Just when I think the National League aren't going to ever respond to any of my requests, maybe they'll come back to me. Who knows? But we will. Yeah, please stay in touch via social media, and we'll try and keep you informed about our full return. And of course, you can listen to all the episodes you may have missed while you wait. So a big thank you to Dave Anderson for joining me today and for the season.
Well, it's my absolute pleasure, Tim.
Well, yeah, don't expect a trophy or anything like that. You know, we're it's social distancing. We can't have presentation evenings or anything. Thanks, too, to all of our guests throughout the season again. And a big thank you to everybody for listening. You can follow us throughout the season and in the off-season. Join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anson's at Dave Anson 78. Caroline Barker at Caroline Barker. Myself at Tim Fuel. Plus, of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Smart Radio as well, I think, and now via your smart speakers as well, and all good podcast aggregation sites. There's also the non-league gaffer tapes there, and we'll be back soon with those again as well, when we can allow to send Dave Anderson out to go face to face with some of these managers.
Got some good names on the list and all, by the way. You know, I'm not going to tell you now, but maybe worth listening to.
We've definitely got a few lined up, but stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.